What is going on, crypto family? So today we have got a legendary show with a true legend, the one and the only G. Edward Griffin. This guy has like shaped the minds of like millions of people with his videos, his books, his teaching, including people like Ron Paul. In this interview, we cover so much stuff. You know, we talk about so many different things that like the mainstream media and those professionals would just call quackery or conspiracy theories. But if you dig a little bit deeper than like Wikipedia and those mainstream websites, you may find the red pill too. Or you can jump over to redpilluniversity.org, their website, and maybe hear another side of things that you've only heard one side to. I mean, Mr. Griffin is pretty freaking incredible. This guy is 88 years old. He looks like he's 60, and the dude is still sharp as a tack. But this is a very different interview from what we normally cover here, but I still think it's pretty freaking incredible. We discuss things like aging, what he believes the cause, as well as the cure is for cancer. We talk about Tesla's HARP, chemtrails, the Fed, Trump, Q, Noah's Ark, what life's all about to him, why he continues to still educate, and we even touch on crypto too for some of you that need crypto in every single one of your diets, right? So, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is a co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. And one last thing before we get into this, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, sit back, enjoy, open your mind, and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we have none other than the one and only Dr. G. Edward Griffin. So it is a pleasure to speak with you again.
Thank you. I really appreciate
everything that you've done, you know, just for the world in general. But the big question I got for you is, you are 88 years old. How the hell do you look so good? What is the secret? I'm not going to look this good at 60.
Well, so. Thank you. Man, I like you already. I don't care what else you say. That's good. Well, I don't know. I am 88. I'm pushing 80. I mean, I'm 87, actually.
Yeah,
but I'm in the 80, insurance-wise. That's where I am.
Yeah. So what's the secret, man?
I'm just lucky. I don't have any secrets.
What do you eat? What's your nutritional regimen?
Right. I'll go into that a little bit. Maybe it's of interest. I have changed my lifestyle a lot between now and when I was 20, 30, 40 years of age. I used to drink a lot, and I was smoking a pipe, trying to look dignified, smoked too much, didn't get enough sleep, and I didn't know what to eat, you know, I'm eating junk foods and all that, and I didn't exercise. I did all the things that should have put me out a long time ago, but then I kind of woke up to some of the things I was researching and learning about and began to talk about it. You know, I ought to apply that to my own life, you know? And so I've changed now. I try and eat really good, clean foods, supplement my diet with especially trace minerals. I think trace minerals are very important. I exercise. I'm just about completely off the booze. I don't have any interest in it anymore, which surprises me because it used to be a very important part of my life. No, too important. But
scotch, whiskey, what?
And I don't know. It just cleaned up my...
What was your drink of choice?
Oh, I hate to tell you. Black Russian, actually.
Black Russian.
Yeah.
Right.
Vicious drink.
Especially the next day.
Oh, yeah. For the next week. No, that's all behind me, thank God. And so I don't know. I just... I actually am taking some rather exotic things. I'm taking a telomerase activator, if that's... Probably most people never heard of that, but if you're interested, come on to our website, realityzone.com, and go to the health section, and all the stuff that I have in there is what I take.
Wow.
So some of it's pretty exotic.
I will definitely post that link. So realityzone.com?
Yeah, realityzone.com. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
It's primarily there for...
I'm going to flash it up right here like three times.
Yeah, it's primarily there for all the books and video recordings that we produce. But people have asked me the question. The telomerase activator is really interesting. It's called Recharge. That's the brand name of it. It's based on the scientific fact that our cells, or I should say our DNA strands, have... with little caps on the ends of them called telomeres. And as we get older, Every time there's the cell replaces itself, which on average happens about every 7 years,
right.
A little piece of the telomere disappears. With the new cell, it has a shorter telomere. And that's considered to be essential to the aging process. When you get down to the fact that there's no more telomeres, your DNA is exposed, it produces imperfect copies, and you get, quote, old, and then you're through.
Shelf life is expired.
Your expiration date comes up, yeah. So the theory is that anything you can do to keep from losing those telomeres or actually regrow them, which is what the theory is behind this telomerase activator, because the thing that causes them to regrow is telomerase, which is an enzyme. And so this product that I'm talking about stimulates the production of that enzyme, and that stimulates the rejuvenation or regeneration of the telomeres, and voila, you're supposed to be younger. You know, like,
it's working. How long have you been doing it?
I don't know if it's working or not, but I've been taking that now for about 7 years. Yeah.
7, okay. You know, I mean, as far as like the education process that you're still, you know, a major part of, why are you still doing it? You know what I mean? You could have retired, you know, so many times, right?
Well, wouldn't that be an awful thing to do?
I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I'm just wondering why everybody does what they do.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I'm doing what I do because I just feel driven to do it. I have to do this because I'm dealing with some pretty serious stuff. It has to do with the future of the country, future of my family. Even my future, sure. It's the short-term future, not just, you know, the long-range future. And it's pretty serious stuff. Things are happening in our world that I don't like. And I don't want to just sit back and say, oh, what are we going to do about it? I hope it turns out. No, I have this instinctive desire to get in there and try and do something about it.
What do you think
In our family, we kid about it. And I'm trying to change the world. I'm trying to save the world. You want to help me?
Exactly.
So I'm saving the world. That's what I'm doing.
What do you think the biggest challenges the world face right now? What's the biggest thing you're most focused on?
The biggest thing, if you go generic with it, is that the information we're getting is tainted. It's not the truth. It's twisted, sometimes falsified, sometimes it's completely the reverse. And it's like we're living in a world of illusions. We think that, you know, we think the government is here to help us, for example. Can you think of a bigger illusion than that? But still people run their lives on that theory, and they know deep in their heart that the government is loaded with corrupt people, that the government, the more power we give it, it becomes a bigger magnet to attract all the criminals and all the suede shoe artists, all the con artists go into government because it's a cushy way to, you know, make a killing.
Yeah, it's funny, when you look at the politicians, they start off, maybe they have $1 million, and then after, you know, their second term or something, they're billions of dollars richer.
So people know that, and yet they still think, well, the government's there to help us.
That's what Reagan said, I'm here from the government. I'm
here to help you. Yeah. He was joking.
I know.
So that kind of thing, you know. So I think the biggest obstacle to a future that we want is the fact that we're operating on the basis of myths and illusions. And so we're doing just the opposite of what we should be doing. That's the reason I think we talked a little moment ago about what I'm into is my Red Pill University. And that's what the whole purpose of the university is to present material to break these illusions. Take the red pill and wake up, man. If you want to go back to sleep, stick with the blue pill. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But if you want to see reality, be ready for some jolts and some shocks, and mostly be the kind of person that you will respond by saying, oh, it's terrible. Not that, but the response is, darn, I'm going to do something about it.
Right.
Now, that means it's not for everybody. Most people don't want to get involved. Oh, it's controversial. You know, a guy could get hurt. You could lose your job. You might lose a friend. You know, they don't realize how serious this war is. I mean, they're talking about your freedom, your future.
So with Red Pill University, what's like the primary focus of it? What's the biggest thing?
Well, what we're trying to do, Robert, is just we bring together the best teachers we can find from around the world. And so far we put on 3 Red Pill expos each year for 3 years. And we bring in people who talk about illusions in healthcare, illusions in politics. Our next big event is going to be the whole truth and nothing but the truth about 5G, for example. Just one topic on that. Illusions everywhere we go. And so the idea is we bring together the teachers, and we've created a platform for them. And now the university allows people to go online, and they can check into their classrooms of this person, whoever that interests them. Talk about money, the illusions in money, the illusions in cryptos, the illusions in fiat money, the illusions in the information system? Is it fake news? And all of these things. And our teachers, our faculty members have specialties, right? So our goal is to create this potpourri of all these different great teachers that have deep knowledge on specific topics, and you can go in there, and it just depends on how many red pills you want to take.
I was going to say, you're just going to red pill the hell out of everybody. They're going to walk out. Where do we go?
And some people have trouble with that. They really thought, I don't want to know, they say.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand it, but that's not my reaction. I want to know. If it's bad, I especially want to know.
Gotcha. And so, like, with the creature from Jekyll Island in 1913, the Fed, right? So, in that book right there, you probably cover that as well in this Red Pill University.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
So yeah, that's a major theme. Currency. Yeah, I have a classroom there, too. So, I talk about, I'm kidding about this half. I'm thinking of renaming my classroom instead of monetary issues. I'm going to call it the world and everything in it. But that's kind of the way I wander around. But most of our teachers have areas of special interest. That's what it's all about, redpilluniversity.org. And anybody that's listening, I urge you to go check it out, redpilluniversity.org. There's a tuition involved. It's quite reasonable. And for the money that's spent. Our goal is to build the largest reliable repository of information on this sort of thing, illusion versus reality in our lives. And so you can go there and just spend as much time as you want to. And I guarantee you that we're doing our best to vet the information. We can't necessarily say, well, this is right and that's wrong. If we knew what was right and wrong on every issue, then we wouldn't need Red Pill University, right?
Sure.
We'd already know all the answers. So we have some controversial stuff in there, and I think it's good to be stimulated on those things. For example, we're struggling right now. There's some information about UFOs coming out, right?
Okay.
It's all in the news.
Are you
going
to be storming Area 51 with everybody?
I've been there. I don't have to storm it. I've been there twice already.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Is it true? Is it real? What'd you see?
Well, Area 51 is real. I've been there. Yeah.
What do they have
I was
there?
Met with the guys with the guns that you can't come any further than this. Oh. I know it's real.
Oh, yeah. So you've been there, you stopped at the gate or where?
They stopped me, yeah.
No.
You're not going in there, buddy. Well, it's real. And now, what do they do down in there? Of course, I have my own ideas, but I can't say from personal experience. But I'm willing to listen to people who have, they say they have personal experience,
yeah,
like Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
It means that we have to go into areas that are a little bit, make us nervous.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to explore these areas, then what? You're not going to learn anything. You know?
Yeah.
You have to accept it.
There's a lot of people that like the way the steak tastes with the blue pill. You know what I mean?
That's right. They don't know it's horse meat.
Exactly, right? Man, so with all your research and everything that you've done, I mean, you know so much, you've seen so much. You know, what's like your biggest takeaway that you can like sum up? I guess like the media, right? So a lot of people think that they can trust the media. A lot of people now are saying fake news. What's like your biggest takeaway that you have in all your research from the news that we're digesting every single day? You know, how are we being fed it?
I think that the best way to answer my view of that is to say it's about 90% blue pill.
Gotcha.
Most of it is don't worry about things, folks. This is bad, but we're on it. You know, we're going to take care of it. And here's the guy on the white horse. He's going to take care of it. So just vote for him or vote for it. Don't worry. You don't have to get involved. We're just telling you about it. And aren't you grateful that we are here taking care of it? That's the kind of message that comes through. No, I'm so glad that the police or the military or the president or the Congress, I'm glad they're going to solve that problem. And they just, it's all designed to make you feel that there are big problems out there, but we're taking care of it. Don't worry about it.
Trust us. We got you covered.
Just keep your taxes coming in and go vote for whichever candidate we put out for you and so forth.
Gotcha. So what's kind of your feeling on Trump right now? A lot of people,
I'd rather not go there.
You don't want to go there?
Nah.
Okay. Well, some people love him or hate him.
I'll tell you, having said that, of course, I've already tipped my hand. I have questions about Trump. Not about him as a person, but I see what I just mentioned a moment ago. I see that coming through even on pro. First of all, let me say that Hillary was not my candidate, for sure. But I think that we have to be careful. Just because we don't like some person doesn't mean the other candidate that we've been offered is the solution. I think that we have to stop and say, well, wait a minute. Are we swapping one problem for another? I have to be a little more careful. And and another part of my hesitancy is that I've learned over the years to distinguish the difference between words and actions. For decades I've heard political figures give great speeches, and they say, oh man, that's true, he's got to be good. But I find out when they're in office, they don't actually perform on any of the things they said.
Yep.
But they said the right thing.
Sure. You know?
So I don't listen too much to the speeches. I just look at the actions.
It's kind of like Groundhog's Day. You have all these different politicians that run for office. They get elected. Then they get in there, and it's just, you know, 4 years more of the same. You know, it's
or worse.
Or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how that works.
But. So I'm kind of skeptical about things, and I don't like to go into that topic because a lot of good freedom-loving people, you know, think that Mr. Trump is going to save them. They think that, you know, the QAnon and all this internal organization. Don't worry, folks. It's all taken care of. We're back to that again, right? You don't have to worry about this. We are going to take care of it for you. And I don't like that because I know that's not true.
Yeah,
we have to be responsible for this.
Yeah, great point. One of the things that I've always been concerned with is we have over 300 million people in the U.S., but we're only given a couple handful of people that all seem to be related to the guy before or related
right.
You know, to the same group of people. Yeah,
well, you know, I'm here at a meeting and I talked about ideas. What are we fighting for? Are we fighting to put a man in the office or a set of values in the office? Most people talk about who you're going to vote for, meaning what person or what party are you going to vote for. But they never ask, what are you going to vote for? And the reason they don't ask that, because they have no idea themselves.
Right.
They've never thought about what. You mean principles, political principles? What would they be? You know, well.
This guy's going to give me free money every month. I like this
guy. That's a political principle. Yeah, or I don't know what these people think their political principles are.
What's kind of your thoughts around just crypto in general? I mean, you kind of see Libra coin out there with Facebook. You saw the government, first they were kind of bad-mouthing Bitcoin, but then Libra steps up, and they're like, oh, God, this could be really, really bad, right? So let's shut Libra down and start endorsing Bitcoin. What do you think of like crypto for the, you know, for the world, for the globe? Because you've got the creature from Jekyll Island in 1913, where you talk about the Federal Reserve. You talk about how they control us, you know, through monetary policies and through printing fiat, where this could actually disrupt that in sorts.
It could, yeah. And if the powers that be did nothing to prevent it, it would. But we know what the powers that be do. They knew about crypto. In fact, there's some argument that they even created it.
SHA-256, NSA.
Yeah, you can't ignore that possibility, but whether that's true or not, they certainly have jumped on the bandwagon. They're not going to let it go and be, like, one of their favorite tactics is to control their own opposition. They know there's going to be opposition, so they don't wait for genuine opposition to come up. They say, okay, we'll provide our own opposition so we can control it.
I got you. They control the narrative.
Yeah, that way you can't lose. But to do that, you have to do some things that look pretty effective. You have to actually do some valid things. Otherwise, your trick will be exposed. So you actually, I've forgotten what the security agencies call that, but there's a certain name. They say, you know, actually do some damage to yourself, but keep it limited, you know. If you were trying to convince somebody that your home had been attacked by an enemy.
Yeah, like false flag type stuff.
False flag, yeah. You would probably go out and shoot a few holes in the garage or something, but you wouldn't blow up the house. But you could say, oh, look, somebody shot at my house.
Right.
So you have to actually do something that looks convincing. So this is their favorite trick. It stands to reason that they would come out and say, well, cryptos, you know, we don't want cryptos. When in reality, they're working feverishly behind the scenes to say, how do we make cryptos work for us? And I know, in fact, you probably know more about that than I. They're doing that right now, trying to figure out how they can use cryptos. Because, you know, a cashless society is their dream. That's their goal, cashless society. And if they can control the cashless society, which technically they can, it's not going to be easy, but these guys are smart and they got a lot of bucks.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've always said that crypto is like, you know, the biggest freedom for the world or the biggest enslavement, right?
It's true of almost any technological advance, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially if, you know, like these central banks or whatnot control the crypto, they could go totally Chinese on us, right?
Exactly.
Or they could basically see where every single coin or token goes, who we're spending it with, how much we have.
Yeah, and if they ever design a system where all the cryptos can remain pretty much independent, but they have to go through a clearinghouse in order to be spent, then they've got it locked up, you know. And we still got our cryptos.
Yep. Interoperability, the hub.
And the side chains and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's great that you're keeping up and you're learning and speaking about all this type of stuff. It's pretty incredible. I mean, one of the books that, you know, was really important to me, I mean, obviously was, you know, the Creature from Jekyll Island, but A World Without Cancer. You know, a lot of people call that just quackery, but I personally know that stuff has actually worked for people.
Well, fewer and fewer people are calling it quackery now. Yeah. I mean, when it first came out in 1974, I look back, in those days, there was one health food store in Los Angeles, and it was just about as big as this little room here. And people were saying, health food store, what is that? You know? So, yeah, that was really quackery in those days to suggest that diet had something to do with the control of cancer.
Imagine that.
You gotta be crazy. But now, no, it's I would say probably 60 to 70% of the people would say, yeah, probably true. It doesn't sound like quackery. And of course, it isn't quackery at all. It's truth.
And basically, in your book, you say that it's basically a nutrient deficiency, right? And so how, like, LHRO and B17...
That's the most obvious aspect of it. And it's a very complex thing, but you got to simplify it in order to communicate the concept. And then once the central idea is understood, then you can start building on it. But yeah, there are two primary... As I see it. Now, okay, I'm the researcher. I'm the writer. I'm not the guy in the laboratory injecting the mice with the toxins and stuff. I'm just reading the reports that come out of that. And what I see is that there are two main channels, let's call it, of control for cancer. One is what we might call the extrinsic factor, and the other is the intrinsic factor. Extrinsic meaning from outside the body, and intrinsic meaning from inside the body. And from inside the body, it's an enzyme that's produced in the pancreas, or a group of enzymes. And it's the trypsin and chymotrypsin, which is active in the digestion of protein, meat protein. We don't have time to go into why, but that enzyme, if you're low on that enzyme, cancer proliferates. If you have a lot of that enzyme, then it's effective in controlling and keeping cancer from growing. That's the short version of it. It's really interesting how that works, but it has to do with the digestion of meat protein. Well, okay, I've come this far. Sure. I'll go all the way. You got to take time, I suppose. The cancer cells have a protein coating around them, and it has a negative electrostatic charge. People don't realize, many people, that there's a lot of electricity going on in the body, and there are charges on the cells. The cells have positive and negative. The nutrients go in and the waste products go out, and if those charges didn't exist, nothing would happen and you'd die. So the same thing is true of cancer cells. They have a protein coating with a negative electrostatic charge on the surface. The white blood cells, the immune system, you know, lymphocytes, leukocytes, all the white blood cells, they have a negative electrostatic charge too. So we know from basic physics, negative repels negative. So that's why the immune system does not attack cancer cells. So it's protected. But now if you have this trypsin or chymotrypsin in your bloodstream and you're not eating too much meat, which that enzyme is used to digest, that's why heavy meat eaters have higher rates of cancer than low meat eaters. So if you haven't consumed all your trypsin in digesting meat, or if your pancreas is strong and doing what it's supposed to do, then you have this in your bloodstream, and it comes to a cancer cell, digests that protein coating around the cancer cell, revealing a positive charge underneath. Now the white blood cells are attracted to it, and you've got an internal defense mechanism against cancer. So that is the intrinsic factor. The extrinsic factor means the foods we eat. And there are a lot of foods out there that have an anti-cancer effect, but the one that I found, or I should say that the researchers that I was studying under, that they found was the most effective, was this thing called amygdalin. And that's its name, and when you find it in natural form. And it's a molecule of two parts of glucose, or sugar, one part of cyanide. That scares everybody. Oh, sure. Cyanide, you're going to take cyanide? You crazy, man? Come on. And the other part is benzaldehyde, which also is toxic. You put the two together, they're more toxic than two times. It's very toxic, so you got to worry about that. But to address the cyanide thing, it's not cyanide, it's cyano something. Cyanide is a gas, okay? Well, obviously that's not in this.
Get a little respirator mask on, you're just breathing in. Yeah.
So the question is, so it has cyanide in the molecule. In the combination form, it's not cyanide, it's cyano locked with something else. Just like vitamin B12.
Yep.
Cyanocobalamin. That's vitamin B12. So if we take cyanide out of our diet, then we all die because we don't have vitamin B12 and other nutrients as well. So it's a bogus argument that, oh, don't worry, don't take this because it's got cyanide. And the opposition uses that to scare
they
people
do.
Away from it.
If you look this up on Wikipedia or anything else, they just say it's quackery, it's conspiracy
yeah,
theory. They're saying to eat, you know, arsenic and cyanide and all kinds of stuff. And, you know,
Robert, the really tragic thing is that the people who write that know better.
Right.
They know better. They're doing it because they want to trick people away from using something as simple as amygdalin, which can be
found. Who would
found.
Want to do that?
Who would want to do that? It must be somebody who makes money by selling something more expensive. Who would that be?
Big Pharma, everybody else?
We should look into that.
Maybe.
Of course, that's it. When you trace it down, that's what you find. So anyway, that's the other factor. And so the extrinsic, you got the cyanide in there and the benzaldehyde, but the only thing that releases that, breaks that apart, is another enzyme, called beta-glucosidase. So wherever
that's
that
I was going to name my kid.
Hey, beta-glucosidase. Yeah, good nickname. or beta.
Yeah.
So when that comes in contact with this amygdalin, now it breaks it apart and it's toxic. Now the cyanide comes out as a gas and the benzaldehyde is released. So you got to worry about where do you find that? You want to stay away from that. Well, the answer, of course, as you probably know, because I guess you read the book, didn't you?
I might have, I might have seen the video, too.
The answer is that this enzyme is found in cancer cells. So it's a beautiful mechanism of nature. You've got this stuff you're eating, and it's in your bloodstream. It comes to a cancer cell. It releases the cyanide. This cancer cell commits suicide, and you've got nature's control for cancer.
Yep. One of those things, you know, true wealth comes from the ground. So a lot of people understand, you know, gold, silver, commodities, and as well as, you know, let thy food be thy medicine, let thy medicine be thy food, right? So
that's exactly the
same thing, right?
You've got to have respect for nature and all these things.
Yeah.
So that's what that's all about.
It's extremely interesting, and I know that a lot of people, you know, have used it and had, you know, great results from it. So,
You should see the letters I get. I mean, I've got my files are just loaded with, I lost count. Yeah. Certainly many hundreds, probably over 1,000 by now, of people say, oh my God, my mother or my husband or my daughter was on the brink of death. You know, they were told had a few weeks to live. And now here it is 20 years later, and here's a picture and whatever. And thank you. It's very rewarding.
It's pretty incredible. And I can see why you still do what you do.
Exactly.
Just the things like that. You know, another amazing video you guys did was, you know, what in the world are they spraying? So a lot of people, they think that, you know, that's quackery too. It's like, no, those are just, you know, those are, you know, just from planes. That's not chemtrails. You know, that's
contrails.
You know, contrails.
Just moisture, ice crystals.
But then when you go to the top of the mountains, you know, you see all these different things that they've been spraying up there that goes down into the water and whatnot.
Yeah,
so
we don't want to do any chemical analysis of the water. No, because we can't explain all the heavy metals. And, oh, my God.
So in a nutshell, for people that haven't seen the video, that, you know, maybe to kind of push them to go watch it, you know, how would you summarize, I guess, you know, what in the world are they spraying for people?
Summary, okay. Well, the answer to the question of what are they spraying, they're spraying chemicals. And the reason for spraying the chemicals, now, that's a little harder to prove, but we can prove they're spraying chemicals. But why? Well, the military pretty much answers the question for why they're involved, and they are deeply involved in this project. They're putting chemicals up so they can control the weather. And if you get certain chemicals in the air, now you can bounce electrical energy from, like radar systems or antenna, like HARP up in Alaska, which now they've closed that down, they say.
The Russians have it too, don't they?
Pardon?
Don't the Russians have one too, as well as Chinese?
Well, the Russians were the first one to have one. They call it the Woodpecker. That was our name for it. They're all experimenting in how to control the weather, because the reports from the U.S. military say very plainly, he who controls the weather will control the world.
Yeah, they were using that in Vietnam. Ron Livingston, if I remember his name right. Yeah, he was flooding Ho Chi Minh Trail, man, making it tough for them. Just to
flood the trail. Poison, whatever. Flooding, you know, creating hurricanes and floods is pretty good, or droughts.
Sure.
Pretty good weapon against your enemy, if your enemy is a nation.
So this is one of the instruments that they use to kind of control the weather.
Yeah. Gotcha. So it's clear that is a logical candidate for the answer to the question, why do they do it? But there are other possible additional reasons too.
Terraforming, or?
Well, there's some evidence that, and I'm just saying evidence.
Sure.
I'm impressed by the evidence, but I'm not willing to say this is it. But I think there are some very powerful people that want to reduce the population of the planet without people
eugenics.
Knowing how they're getting reduced.
Right.
And one of the ways, of course, is to chemically slow down the reproductive process. And I'm not saying to kill people, although that sometimes happens.
Sure, just
but
look
to
at
reduce their fertility.
Yeah, you'll get testosterone levels in men, it just
exactly.
keeps dropping year after year after year.
And you can do that, chemicals from the sky or chemicals from
water,
from spray cans, and you put like glyphosates on Roundup and stuff on your crops, and you eat the foods and so forth. You can do that from a lot of different sources. Vaccines contain those things. I think mankind is getting bombarded from many different sources, primarily to reduce his reproductive rate.
Yeah, that's incredible. All the things that that you know, that you help educate with. This Red Pill University, you know, sounds.
Red Pill University is where that all is coming together.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. I mean, yeah. So from all your research and everything that you've learned over the years, what's like the one your biggest takeaway that you could give to the world? You know, just you know something that you learned that you know just kind of sums it up. Because you've seen so many different things, you've spoke about so many different things.
I've been asked this question before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not
you can imagine.
Original.
And it's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one. And so,
it's like asking Yoda, it's like, what's the secret to the Force?
What's right? the secret, yeah. I think the best answer is sort of generic, but it covers it all. I think my advice is to question authority, respect nature, and do what in your heart you know is right. Now, that's my advice. I think that covers it all, because the assault against humanity is on those three prongs. They get to us because they're the authority, and we've got to do what the authority says. They get to us because, oh, we think that nature can be tampered with. They can overcome nature. Test tube chemicals are fine, you know. We'll find some way to overcome nature. And the other thing is to get us so confused intellectually that we don't know what is right. Is this right or is that wrong? Gee, but we do know in our hearts in most cases. We really know. So that's my summary.
It's incredible. That's great. So you Christian, you believe in God?
I believe in God. They're not the same thing, by the way.
Okay.
I'm definitely a deist. I consider myself a Christian in terms of believing in the Christian principles. Now, and believing all the rest of it that comes with different denominations of Christianity, they're not all in agreement, as you know. But if you put them all together, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Awesome.
But it's really not important. I think that what is important is that a person, if he respects nature, he knows that there's a creation force of some kind. And he also knows that he's got a role in that somehow. And once you understand that, it's a powerful awakening of where you fit in the scheme of things. You're not just here because there's got to be a reason for it, right?
Exactly. And so, what you do here, you'll be judged on later. So that's...
Whatever, you have a reason, and you better find out what that is and respond to it.
Well, it's been incredible hearing your thoughts, and I really appreciate everything you do for the world. And the fact that you're still doing it, looking as handsome as you are at 88 freaking years old, it is incredible, people. I mean, yeah, we're definitely going to post all the links so that way people can go and see what you're doing.
Okay, Robert, you're a great guy for that.
Likewise.
Thank you.
God bless, man. Catch you on the next one. Wow, what did you think, peeps? It was a true honor to have this legend on with us. And it sure be great to hear what your thoughts on these controversial topics are in the comments below. Also in the description, I'm going to post a bunch of links there to like his university, some of the videos and some of the books and all the stuff that he's done over the years that, you know, for some of you, you may want to hear or learn more about. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and
advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. God bless you. Love you. Catch you on the next one.